Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
So it's not a sin in your church to have an abortion?
That's the kind of conversation we would have, finding out your story, where you're from. God's the judge. People have to live to their own conviction.
The science is clear. The Bible is clear. And if we're honest, our intuitions are clear. We know what we're killing. We're killing a human being.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Greetings, comrades!
It's the Wretched Radio mail call delivery bag Q&A infotainment nationwide extravaganza featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here!
Ooh, this is Wretched Radio. No, we're not communists yet, but we're practicing, so welcome, comrades, to Mailbag Day here on Wretched Radio. What is on your mind? Would you please send it? Send all things wretched, matter of fact, to idea@wretched.org. And if you would like to text 877-282-2337, Jimmy, would you like to hear my extended commentary before we get to the mailbag?
Absolutely.
I've got a political monologue prepared for you. Here it is. And I think everybody in Minnesota will appreciate this. Here it is. Oofta. Wow. Wow. What? That's it. That's my political commentary. Thank you for sending some. By the way, next week, would you please send a lot of stuff? I mean, a lot of stuff, because we're going to be dedicating the week to VU, your questions, comments, conundrums, snarks, whatever is on your mind, whatever you think is wretched worthy. Do those two words go together? Whatever you think is wretched, please send it, because we're going to dip into the mailbag every single day next week. I enjoy that, Jimmy.
Yeah, I do too.
I just enjoy it. It's the stuff of life. It's just the, especially in the context of the family or the local church, this is where our theological rubber tends to meet the road. I think more than in other arenas, because it is so personal. And it's always good to hear, hey, there's other people going through struggles. I'm not the only one with stuff. idea@wretched.org.
All right, this is from Joy. Todd, I was wondering what you think about so-called exorcists. Obviously, they have no real power, but when they talk about speaking directly to demons and casting them out, what's your belief on how much of that is actually true?
Yeah, I don't know. I hear those stories, especially overseas. Is it possible demonic activity looks a little different there than here? Yeah, I suspect so. It is probably more overt in some countries than in other countries. It doesn't mean that there aren't demons at work when they aren't just, you know, brah, look at I'm a demon type of thing. Instead, they are just subtly going about the business of undermining worldviews, destroying people's lives. So they're active, they're busy. Can they indwell a Christian? No. Can they indwell a non-Christian? Yeah, they can. There's not an expiration date in the Bible on individuals who are indwelt by demons. Now, the question, of course, is how do you get them out of there? And the answer is not that we currently possess the authority to cast out demons. Matthew 10, that was given to the disciples on that assignment. And if you say, well, if it was given to the disciples, it's given to us. Be careful with that. Because if you are going to apply everything that Jesus said to the disciples without considering context, then you better not bring anything with you on your exorcism trips. Because when they went on a mission trip, what were they commanded to bring? Nothing. Rely on the hospitality of strangers. So that applies too, right? Now, there are some things that Jesus said to the disciples that apply, other things that don't. And I believe that the casting out demons power is one that doesn't exist. You just don't see it, by the way. I'm trying to think, in the book of Acts, are there any demon casting outings? That's right. I just said demon casting outings. I'm struggling to think of one, but I suspect Jimmy will use the AI machine. That was kind of a hint, Jimmy, to determine if we see any. Furthermore, we're not given any instructions in the epistles. There are no details about how this is to be done because I don't believe that we possess that authority anymore. You say, does that make us powerless to when we meet somebody who is possessed by a demon? Absolutely not, because you have the power of presenting the gospel. Because if the person hears the gospel convicted of sin and the Holy Spirit does a work of conversion, then they will get saved. The Holy Spirit will indwell and demon be gone. The Holy Spirit doesn't like roommates, especially demonic ones. So we preach the gospel to those people, let God do his regenerating work. And I believe the demon will flee. Short of that, I believe that is the end of our power when it comes to casting out demons. And perhaps there's videos on the internet of strange things. I don't doubt that strange things happen. I don't doubt that there is an overt demon activity. But I just don't see in the New Testament that you and I still possess that power and authority, but it doesn't mean we're powerless. Jimmy, any demon casting outings in the book of Acts?
I don't think there's very many, but Paul casts out the fortune-telling spirit in Acts 16.
Right.
But that's really about it that I really can gather. There was the sons of Sceva. That was a failed exorcism.
Right.
Yeah. So,
okay. So what this is not definitive, but when we don't see something that Jesus commanded in the Gospels that is played out in the book of Acts or explained in more detail in the epistles, this isn't perfect, but it should get your attention. Did something change there? And I think the answer is yes. Yes, it did. The instructions and power given to the original apostles was given to them for a specific reason at a particular time, and we don't see it playing out any further in the life of the first century church. Therefore, I conclude, don't go into the exorcism business. But if you disagree, we can get along, can't we? Please, over something like, please, this is not worthy of division, is it? 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Joe. Todd, I'm looking for help with reaching people who think that the Bible was written to simply control people, and it doesn't have that much authenticity. Specifically, the New Testament, I've been in discussions with people who say that it was just written down by rich people to control others. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I know that's wrong, but I need some help from you on how to display the historical and verifiable mode in which the New Testament was put together.
Got some good news for you. You don't have to answer that ridiculous, unfounded accusation. The burden of proof, it is squarely on them. This almost falls underneath Greg Kokel's tactics. It's a book that really you should read if you like sharing your faith. How do you engage and interact with people? I think the skill that Greg Kokel excels in better than anybody I've ever seen is not accepting what somebody says and putting the burden of proof on them to clarify, define what you mean. What do you mean by that? How did you come to that conclusion? Why do you ask that question? That's a really good tactic. And I think the same thing is true with this sort of the principle applies to the accusation that the Bible was just written to control people. What proof do you have of that? Now, they could say, well, historically, men have used the Bible to oppress people. And I guess I wouldn't argue with that, kind of a fruitless observation, but what does that have to do with the motivation of those who wrote it? Are you telling me that these men wrote something so countercultural, something that without a doubt was going to get them kicked out of the family, out of their community? They'll lose their career because they profess Jesus Christ as Lord. You're telling me these guys went, yeah, that's going to happen, but in short order, we're going to take this counterintuitive message, this stumbling block message, and I don't think we're going to get persecuted or stoned. Now that's not going to. Instead, people are going to buy it in spades. It's going to be like multi-level marketing or, I don't know, essential oil, something. They're just going to gobble this thing up. And then We're just going to sit in our castles and oppress them. Is that what you're telling me? Because I have no reason to believe it unless you have documents that you can share with me that are authentic and verifiable that would indicate there was some sort of apostolic meeting where they schemed together this plan to oppress people by writing something that is the opposite of oppression. I mean, why would John, for instance, write, if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed? Well, anybody who was being oppressed would say, well, that's not saying that Christians are supposed to oppress one another. It's that Jesus liberates us. So why would he write something about liberation, being set free from fear, anxiety, sin, death, the devil, if the book were really intended to oppress people? All that to say, put the burden of proof on them. Don't accept it. Don't feel like you have to defend everything, because there is nothing in the actual manuscripts that we possess, which, by the way, increasingly early, that would indicate that the Bible was written to oppress. This is Wretched Radio.
Let's be honest. You've earned your PhD in couch sitting. You know exactly which cushion has the perfect amount of give. You are a professional. Well, congratulations. Your expertise just became holy ground. Fortis Plus has officially arrived on your TV. From your phone to now on your Roku, Samsung, LG, Vizio, Apple TV. Basically, if it has a screen and an internet connection, Fortis Plus is there. Go ahead, stay seated, but download Fortis Plus first, because your couch just got promoted.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Every man knows what it's like to fight a battle no one else can see. You wake up, you're determined that today is going to be different. This time, you're going to be stronger than the temptation. But then evening comes, and there you are again, right back where you started. You're making promises to yourself that you already know deep down that you're not going to keep tomorrow. That's what Todd Friel gets into very deeply with his resource, Play the Man. It's available right now as an ebook, an audiobook, and video series only at fortisplus.org. You know what's crazy? You've got more computing power in your pocket right now than NASA used to send people to the moon. But most of us, well, we're using it to watch cat videos or argue with strangers online. But what if I told you there's a better way? The Fortis Plus app. I'm talking hundreds of hours of biblical content that'll actually make you smarter and more equipped for the battles you're facing every day. Look, you're going to scroll through something today anyway. Why not make it something that actually strengthens your faith? Download the Fortis Plus app right now, wherever it is you download your apps from. Fortis Plus at fortisplus.org. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you actually felt something without fear, without shame, without immediately wanting to numb it? If you're living on autopilot, you're not alone. Millions are told the same thing. It's just a chemical imbalance. Hey, take this, you'll be fine. But you're not fine. You're numb. Dr. Greg Gifford gets that, and his new series, Life Without the Numb, is available right now, absolutely free at fortisplus.org. This isn't about ignoring struggles. It's about transformation from the inside out. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Ever feel like you're watching the world turn upside down and wondering if everyone else is seeing the same thing you are? Yeah, you're not alone. And at Fortis Institute, we're not just watching from the sidelines. We're fighting back with truth. But here's the thing. That mission? Well, it takes resources, and that's where faithful gospel partners come in. The church needs more than just encouragement right now. It needs equipping. Will you stand with us? Visit FortisInstitute.org right now to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Know your church fathers. John Chrysostom was the bishop of Syria and Constantinople in the 4th century. He was an eloquent preacher and earned the moniker Chrysostom, which means golden-mouthed. He denounced abuses of authority in church and government and fought for purity of life and doctrine. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Why do I find that question so agitating? This is Wretched Radio. I think I know. Perhaps you just heard Jimmy read a question sent to idea@wretched.org about an individual who was witnessing to somebody, and the person said the Bible was just written to oppress people. Hmm. And that's not the first time I've heard that, by the way. But it for some reason, it kind of rankles me. And I think the reason is because it has actually gained traction. And the only way that has happened is because of just the lack of discrimination on the internet, the lack of discerning what is true and thinking through certain things. I mean, it would be like me saying, okay, so Abe Lincoln, he wanted to be president so that everybody would wear a stovepipe hat. And that's why I don't believe that Abe Lincoln existed. Okay, nonsensical, of course, but that's kind of the way the logic flows these days on the internet. What proof do you have of that? Well, he did wear a stovepipe hat. Yeah, so what proof do you have that he actually ran for presidency? You know, he just put up with the whole Civil War thing just so he could ultimately get people to wear a hat like his. I have no proof for that. There's nothing to substantiate that. And I can make up all kinds of ridiculous scenarios. Well, if you ever see the picture of him at the Gettysburg Address as he's standing over people, what makes him look so tall? The hat. Yeah? Well, see, that proves Abe Lincoln wanted everybody to wear a stovepipe hat. Ay, ay, ay. Would you kindly send whatever to idea@wretched.org or text it, Bitta, 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Sean.
By the way, I wasn't crabby at the guy who asked the question.
Uh-huh.
I'm crabby that we have to deal with that sort of nonsense. That's what I'm really, really...
Well,
these guys wrote it to oppress people?
Yeah, I don't get that logic. I mean, how many examples do we have?
It's all CRT.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's using the whole casting off the oppressor. It's social Marxism now applied to the Bible. We're reading it back in. And I think you were just going to say that what examples do we even have in Scripture? In fact, if I'm not mistaken, Paul told elders to not lord it over people, but to be a servant shepherd. Where in the world do you get the...
But Jesus says.
And furthermore, but Jesus says?
Yeah, Jesus says he came to serve. Last is first.
Oh,
first
sure.
Yeah, I mean...
So where is the oppression in this? He came to set us free indeed. And further... Back in that first century, this is an anachronological fallacy. Back in the first century, do you think that it was as easy as it is today to rise to prominence, to gain a following, to bilk them and control? You can do that today better than you certainly could in the first century because of social media, internet, TV, radio, mass communications. People can do that. They can pull that off today. You can start a cult. But in the first century, all of these guys who wrote these books, the different authors of the New Testament, they were scheming individually to become controllers over what? What zip code? What territory? What group of people are we talking about here? And if you read, for instance, just read Paul's journeys alone. What did he get for his trouble? Shipwrecks, abandonment, beatings, imprisonment. He hardly became an oppressor. Read Fox's Book of Martyrs. All of the apostles, they were martyred for the faith, with the exception of John, who was merely dipped in oil. You know, just a little blip in his oppression enterprise. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Sean. Todd, what happened to the new book you were writing?
What do you mean, what happened to it?
Why do you ask
that question? What do you mean by book? I'm just trying to apply some tactics to backpedal here. Currently, okay, here's what happened in the book that I was writing. It was originally titled Lord Overall. And the premise was to undermine Christian dualism so that we don't separate our faith from the rest of our lives. And with that particular positioning, it's like, yeah, it was there, that, you know, kind of the idea, but it didn't feel like the goal was for us to be 24/7 Christians. It felt more like a theological treatise on the sovereignty of God. And so with James, my editor, we discussed it and changed the title, and it opened the door. So the entire manuscript, it's actually sitting on my desk. It's a whopper. It's sitting there printed. So there is a book. It's just not a good one. So I am currently going through that book and making it gooder. And right now I have to confess to you, I'm so excited about it because it's far warmer, it's more pastoral, and it just makes Jesus look better. Rather than a clinical presentation of Jesus, rather than kind of a dry, dusty, theological tome, the idea is to show the vibrancy of the Christian faith and how anybody who understands who Jesus is just organically will live like a Christian. All of the schemes, all of the plots, all of the movements that we've created in an effort to be more Christian, I just don't think is the way to go about it. You follow the foundational formula that is given in Acts chapter 2 in the early church. And as you do that, increasingly you become Christ-like. And that means the totality of your life will simply be your faith in action, as opposed to, okay, I'm going to work. How do I bring Christ to work? Well, he's there already. The whole concept is his. Everything about work belongs to Jesus Christ. Everything you're doing, every breath you breathe, it belongs to you or to him. So your work is already Christocentric. The problem is we just forget. We don't know. We don't remember. So how do you remember? It's not a checklist. It's not a to-do list. It is increasingly filling your brain with Bible and your work decisions, how you, your integrity at work, how hard you work. It will all change. Okay, so for instance, two Sundays ago, Eric was teaching Bible study in Ephesians chapter 6. Oh, maybe last week. It was really good. And he was talking about slaves and masters. The application, of course, to today would be employer-employee. And the text is so clear. Don't just be a good slave when they're looking. Be a good slave, period. Why? Because you are serving the Lord Christ. And when you know that truth, now you go to work, not to be a Christian at work, but because your work is Christian. You say, but it's not a ministry. Your work is Christian because, well, frankly, everything is Christian. That's not sinful. And you're a Christian in that space, and you go about the business of being an excellent worker, better than everybody else. Why? Because now you know. Now you've studied the word, which is a means of growth for sanctification and godliness to become Christ-like. You know that you should be working hard as unto the Lord. So now your job is an act of worship. You go to work to worship. And you go to work to be a witness that your boss would go, "Well, I guess that dude's a Christian, but man, he works hard. I'm not going to lose that guy." What a testimony. Everything about the Christian life is Christian because everything on the planet is about Christ. And so this book seeks to show how we can simply be, I'm going to use the word mindful of that, and walk in that. So I think I'm currently edited up to chapter 14. I've got about 8 chapters to go, which I intend to have finished before Thanksgiving, off to James. And I think it's going to be produced fourth quarter next year. And we're thinking about how we're going to do that. I hope that this is going to be a book that helps people, that helps them to live a non-dualistic life, to be a 24/7 Christian who is Watch this, Jimmy. We're going to go full circle. Set free. Set free, not just in the standard classic categories of sin, death, and the devil. No, set free. Liberated to live like a Christian, a unique Christian. Just with your giftings, with the situation that you're in, that you live in that, you excel in that. With your own personality, the non-sinful parts, with your skills, your preferences and desires, how you like to live, you go, girl, you live that way. Do it Christ-likely, but you get to be set free to not be a cookie-cutter Christian. God is not a fan of everybody put on the Christian uniform and march in lockstep. No, he's got us scattered all over the place so that we can be witnesses of his. Because after all, isn't that the purpose for the Christian? And until tomorrow, go serve your king.